God together.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It's precious. And Lord, today we want to come and submit to your word. Your word is the truth. Let it shape our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Last week I did a summary outline of the whole of Romans. But I'm
going
to start with a summary of what we've covered so far today. We saw in the first sermon I preached how Paul wanted to reach these Romans. And he said, I long to see you.
And I
want to give you something of a spiritual gift for your strengthening. And that was in verse 11 of chapter 1. And so he writes this letter as a kind of substitute for his visit, as a preparation for a future visit. And he wants to set forth the gospel and explain the righteousness of God. So in the second sermon, we looked at those two verses, verse 16 and 17, where he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also the Greek, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now explain that the gospel is really good news. And you and I never have to be ashamed if we bring someone the gospel. Because in the gospel is power for salvation. And that means that God Himself gives you the power. It's not like when you come to someone with bad news. Like you thought you were finished working, but actually you still have to work another 4 hours. You thought the exam was over, but there's one more exam you have to study for. If you come to people with laws, your life's okay, but you must make it better. God's almost happy with you, but now you just have to say 20 Hail Marys. God might accept you if you tithe. That's not good news. That's just more burdens. But Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Because within this gift of God's grace is everything that we need. So if I go out and preach, I'm not bringing a burden, I'm bringing a gift. Of course, people don't always know that they need salvation. And some of us, you think the world is generally okay. don't feel a sense of urgency or a sense of concern for the world, unless you can see the condition of the world clearly, and so Paul goes on to speak about the state or condition of mankind. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And then he starts to say, and the world needs the gospel. Because the world is not doing okay. He says that God's wrath is also being revealed. His wrath is against the godlessness and the wickedness of mankind. In other words, the world is not standing in a good position relative to God. And people think they're okay. You know, I've got some food on my table. There's peace in town. There's no taba-taba. And then occasionally something bad happens and everyone's a bit worried. But soon we settle down. And we get back into the routine. But what if this routine is thousands and thousands of lives just drifting steadily towards hell? And Paul wants people to realize the condition of man is a serious one. We're in danger. And of course, people would make an excuse and say, how are we to know? And Paul says, you are without an excuse. Because creation itself testifies that God exists. But what we did was we failed to worship God. The invisible creator. We didn't seek him. But instead we worshipped created things. Like our ancestors. Or ourselves. Our position, our pride. And so Paul says that God is angry. And in the passage we look at today, we're going to learn a little bit more about how God deals with the world. Because what God wants is that people would love him and worship him, put him first. But instead, what people have done is they've run after other things. Now, the interesting part about the next passage that we look at today, you may be asking, why doesn't God do something?
Well,
he did, he sent his son. But what about the people that are against him? Why doesn't he just punish them? The Bible tells us he's actually doing something very strategic. He loves them. And
he doesn't want to just destroy them for their sins. He wants to save them.
So
what God does is very interesting. He gives them the very thing they want. And there's a very good reason for that. We're going to read it now. And you'll see that God's wrath is revealed through handing people over to the very thing they want. Our passage today is from verse 24 to verse 32. So that's chapter 1.
We'll
read from verse 24 to the end.
Ary izany no nanoloran'Andriamanitra azy tamin'ny filan'ny fony ho amin'ny fahalotony dia ny fanalany voninahitra tamin'ny tenany avy ary ny fahamarinan'Andriamanitra dia nosoloninainy ka nanaja sy nanompo ny zavatra natao izy fa tsy ny mpanao izay isorana mandrakizay. Amen. Izany no nanoloran'Andriamanitra azy ho amin'ny filan-dratsy mahavoafady fa ny vehivavy tao aminy nanova ny fanaony ho amin'izay tsy fanaony ary tahaka izany koa ny lehilahy fa namela ny fanao amin'ny vehivavy izy ka maimay tamin'ny fifampilany samy lehilahy ny fanao izay mahamenatra dia nandray tao amin'ny tenany ny valiny izay tokony ho azy noho ny fivoliany. Ary araka ny nanaovany ny fahalalana marina an'Andriamanitra ho tsy mendrika ho tanany dia araka izany koa no nanoloran'Andriamanitra azy ho amin'ny fisainana tsy mahamendrika anao izay zavatra tsy tokony atao ka dia feno'ny tsy fahamarinana rehetra ny faharatsiny ny fieremana ny lolompo feno fialonana vonon'olona fifandirana fita otrofo pibitsibitsika mpanendrikendrika alan'Andriamanitra mpampahory mpiavonavina mpandokatena mpamorotsain-dratsy tsy manora isirena tsy manam-pahalalana tsy mitana fanekena tsy manam-pitiavana tsy miantra dia olona mahalala tsara ny fitsipika nomen'Andriamanitra fa izay manao izany zavatra izany no mendrika ho faty nefa tsy manao izany ihany izy fa mankasitraka ny manao koa.
That's one of the scariest passages in the Bible.
Anisan'ny andalana izay tena farany mampatahotra ao anatin'ny Baiboly izany.
So many sins are listed.
Be da be mihitsy ny karazana fahotana ny tanisainy.
It's not just about homosexuality.
Tsy resaka hoe le hoe homosexuel ihany.
It's about envy.
Fialonana.
Gossip.
Bitsibitsika na fosafosa.
Boasting.
Frerehana.
Disobedience to parents.
Fanoavana ray aman-dreny.
So many things are wrong.
Tena be da be mihitsy ny zavatra diso.
And before that, Paul says the wrath of God is against all of this sin. And in verse 24, it says, therefore God gave them up. In other words, part of God's wrath is that he gives the people over to do more sinning. And that's a scary thought. We always think God is so opposed to sin that he's going to try and stop us from sinning. But But it's more complicated than that. God's not against sin just to be against sin. But he wants our hearts, he wants our worship. And he loves us. And so what he does is he gives people to even more sinning. He actually pushes them. He says, I'm not even going to restrain you. I'm going to let go of you. See, in the Westminster Catechism, which is some church doctrine, they explain the purpose of man. Man, his chief, his highest purpose is to glorify God. You ask, why did God make me? To glorify him. To worship him. So people, human beings are created with an inner desire to worship something. But the doctrine doesn't end there. It says your highest purpose is to glorify God. And to enjoy him forever. What do you enjoy? I enjoy filet de zebu. I enjoy a nice pizza. But my stomach must not be my God. Otherwise, you know what God will do? He'll give me more pizza. And more pizza. Until I get fat. And he says, well, you want to become like the thing you worship? Because that's what happens, you become like the thing you worship. Gives you more pizza. In the end, you round. I'm not talking about Aero family pizza, I'm talking about round pizza. What will happen if you eat too much pizza? Eventually, you will get sick. You will think, my stomach. I feel awful. And this is what God is doing to the world. Sometimes his very judgment is that he gives you the thing you're seeking. Somebody wants money. If only I had money, I would be happy. And then they race after money. They work and they scheme. They go to that town and they work. And God doesn't stop them. He says, you want it? Okay, you can have it. And they get more money. And the Bible says that those who chase after riches are pierced through, they are cut by a multitude of griefs, pains. Because the Father knows that a false God can never satisfy you.
But we don't always believe it. And so God says, well, you want to find out? I'll give it to you. And you get rich. But your heart is still empty. And your wife left you.
And
your children don't speak to you. Many rich men are truly lonely. And when they got everything they wanted, they found out it was nothing at all, it was worthless. Rich people in the West have a high suicide rate. Why? Because when you finally get what you want, and it's hollow and empty, it doesn't satisfy your soul. What is left but despair? Think of the young woman who grows. Imagine a young woman, she's getting older. She thinks that she's too old now, she's 28 maybe. Her family's been nagging her, when you're going to find a husband, when you're going to find a husband. Find a husband. And they construct in their minds a picture of married life. And then they go out and they get a man. And they marry him. And they tell themselves they love him. But they don't love him. They got married just to get their parents off their back. Just to silence the people who are nagging and pressurizing. And they got married to an idea of a husband who would provide for them and make their family happy, and they don't love the person, they love the idea of marriage. It was an idol, because they were filling a need. And then the husband comes and he can't possibly satisfy that person. And they got the very thing they wanted. The family is no longer nagging them. The man puts food on the table. But there's no love. And the idea dissolves into a failure. You see, some people, their idolatry is that they are just seeking to fill a need. That only God can fill. Because a man, a husband, will not make your life complete. Only God can fill that gap. And money will not satisfy your soul. No matter how much you have. But some of you think that that is the answer. But Jesus is the only one who can satisfy the deepest longings of our souls. People chase after all these other things. And God says,
angele.
If you want it so much, you can have it. Because he wants us to get hurt. In a good way. That we are disillusioned. Disillusioned means you're despairing, you're sad, you're disappointed. But now you see clearly. You see that that thing was a waste of time. See, and so many of us think that it's only the obvious sins. But why is a woman sleeping with a woman and not a man? Because she's looking for something. She isn't satisfied. And so people try to find the answer in sex. And they go, they tried it with the opposite sex, now they try with the same sex, they're searching for something. You know men who go to prostitutes. There was a preacher 100 years ago. And he said the man who puts his hand on the door of the prostitute's house. He's looking for God. He just doesn't know it. So God is allowing the world to chase after these things so that they can be disappointed. When you finally tried it and it didn't satisfy you, God's hope is that you'll turn to Him. And the gospel is the good news that you can have Him. The gospel is the good news that God can, you can have relationship with Him again. But we have to realize that that is a call to worship God first. Then you can have all the other good things. God is not good or evil if it's not in God. A husband is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. If you haven't put all your hope in your husband. If you put all your hope on your husband for your happiness, or as a young man, if you put all your hope on having lots of sex in order to be happy, you will be disappointed. But if you put your hope for happiness in God, I will glorify Him and I will enjoy Him. He is the satisfaction of my soul. He's the joy of my life. He's the hope of my future. He's the one I trust in. I look to Him to satisfy me. Then everything else is, there's a freedom, there's an ease, it's much better. So the challenge for you and me, we must understand from what Paul writes how the world works. They're running after the wrong things. But if you put God first, He becomes the source of your joy, your fulfillment, your satisfaction in life.
Manzar lasa luaran fifalin now sun fa fa puno nostru fa să vară noi un tenen.
Now you're free to enjoy everything else too.
Te soia no malala ca țara, afa ca țara, ma ca fin să vătra afa reta cu.
If I'm rich or if I'm poor.
Ramana carena na ma anta.
It's fine.
It's my name.
And I like things. You can, I like a good pizza. I'm not anti pleasure.
Te zava qua, ti zava da ti pizza. Tsue pure manuita le fa ca fiza. Nina na le zava da tsarin.
But I don't live for pleasure.
Fa tsue mi yaina wan plezir na wan in.
I live for God.
Fa mi yaina wan andremant.
And so you put things in their correct place.
Te apeta ko tsara na mtoera na tukun misi anaza in zavaj.
If you look at that passage we just read.
Te ram tsere le andala tsuru tamas na fom fa kitsi ke tetsi kya.
Everything is in the wrong place.
Le zava ta reta reta ane mtoera na disto oi.
Men are with men, women are with women.
Le la mi arakam le la fifav, mi arakam fifav.
People murdering and gossiping and
le ula mamunula mfusafus.
There's envy.
Temis fialuna.
All kinds of strife because things are not in the right place.
Temis karazana fasarutana pedapesati le zavatra tsiana mtena toerana tokony izy azy.
Because God is not in the right place.
Satria andriamanitra tsy napetraka amin'ny toerana tokony izy azy.
It doesn't start with getting all these laws right and getting all these sins out.
Tsue manomboka hoe manao andro lalandro hoe tsy maintsy atao mety daholo dia ireo fahotandro miala daholo.
It starts with worshiping God and enjoying Him.
Fa manomboka amin'ilay fiankofana amin'andriamanitra sy fankafizana azy.
And if you run after something else.
Ka raha ohatra anao miazakazaka manenjika zavatra hafa.
Beware.
De tandremo.
God may actually give it to you.
Mety omen'andriamanitra anao.
Let's pray.